The Blitz. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston. A Gau Media station. If you're not down with that, we got two words for you.
Are you ready?
Hey, you think you can tell us what to do? You think you can tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters.
Break it down. From the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
Craig Koshkin filling in for Fred Fowler here on a Tuesday on The Blitz. AJ Hoffman is in studio. So you got half of the regular crew out here, and then you have the bottom of the barrel and myself trying to do his best not to screw everything up. I'm already wrong once on the day.
A lot of people are saying that if I get on Survivor, then I could probably get a job hosting a game show.
I actually think that's probably correct. And you just can't be the first guy eliminated, and you wouldn't be anyway.
No, because black people and old people are always the first eliminated on Survivor.
You would not be the first.
I am neither black nor old. Although now I would be kind of one of, I'd be like, if they divided us up into the young team and the old team, I would be on the old team. Because I'm in my mid-30s now.
You think that's the mark? I don't know what the line of demarcation is.
I think that's like about the line where I'm like borderline, like I'm turning into an old person.
So next season needs to be the season just in case they do that.
I need to get on there pretty quick.
Well, luckily you have the backing of everyone here.
There's a couple people actually saying Mario Lopez is bald.
I saw a clip on there's a game show on USA where he was a contestant as like famous people and their kids, and the kid alleges that it's a wig. So maybe that's where that's coming from.
True.
I would have to agree with that.
I mean, that guy's really handsome. He's got a lot going for him. You know what? Who cares if you're a bald guy? Just own it. And then there's a couple people telling me about The Miz, who was on The Real World.
He's a wrestler now.
And he wanted to be a wrestler. And when he was on The Real World, he talked about wanting to be a wrestler, and eventually he became a wrestler. Is he like a WWE wrestler? Because he's in the video game.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is he good?
It's okay. He had a couple of stretches here and there.
Was he ever the champion?
Yeah. He was
the
champion.
The big champion?
Mm-hmm.
That's horrible.
That's one of those comic, when you get it for one night and the very next night on Raw, it gets taken from him humiliating
fashion.
He had
a pretty long run.
Really?
Yep.
That's embarrassing.
He was on The Real World, and then he had to go do a bunch of those real world Road Rules challenges before he ever broke into wrestling. And
He was either champion or chasing the championship for at least a year or two.
Are you sure he wasn't like just the Intercontinental champion?
No, he was the WWE champion.
Wow. He wore the same belt.
He beat John Cena at WrestleMania.
Oh, that's embarrassing.
He won a match at WrestleMania for the title?
Yes.
I've never once questioned Vince McMahon. Now I'm starting to.
Yeah, it says here, The Miz was first the champion in 2010. He cashed his Money in the Bank contract after Randy Orton had successfully defended the championship against Wade Barrett. I've never even heard of Wade Barrett. WWE recognizes Miz's reign as lasting 159 days.
That's awful.
And then Rey Mysterio defeated The Miz in a tournament to crown a new champion. But now, it's so muddled, who the champion is. They're saying there were two guys recognized as the champion at once. Back in the day, when I was a kid, once you were the champion, you were champion for a long time, usually.
Yeah.
And, I mean, to be honest, when I was a kid, the only guys I remember being the champion was Hulk Hogan, Andre the Giant, the Macho Man, and the Ultimate Warrior. I feel like the entire 80s were those guys. That was it.
When I was a fan of wrestling as a kid, it was Shawn Michaels, Stone Cold Steve Austin. And this is more in my preteen teenage days. I didn't watch it when I was much younger than that. Those were the two big ones. The Rock was a big deal, but whenever I watched, I don't ever remember him taking home
the world championship belt. I know he did at some point. I'm saying when I watched, I don't remember him taking it.
Because I remember a picture of The Rock holding up the belt. There's like a pretty famous picture
of him. He definitely did. He was, at the prime I watched, he was Stone Cold Steve Austin's nemesis.
Right.
But he never beat Stone Cold.
No, he did beat Stone Cold.
During that time I watched, is what I'm saying. He definitely did win the World Heavyweight Championship at some point in time.
But Stone Cold was the champion for a long time.
He was. And he dethroned Shawn Michaels.
Okay.
And D-Generation X.
Yeah. This is, I mean, what a mess. It's such a mess to look at this thing and see, because Bret Hart is the one who lost to Shawn Michaels and gave him the title, and then Stone Cold beat him. Like, since from the first WWE champion was a guy named Buddy Rogers. The second one was Bruno Sammartino. And then Bruno Sammartino was the champion for 8 years. And then there's a couple other guys. Hulk Hogan became the champion in 1984, held it till 1988. I mean, like, it used to be long runs.
Hulk Hogan win it? Was the match against the Andre the Giant at WrestleMania where he solidified his power, or had he already?
No.
Okay.
Hulk Hogan won the championship against the Iron Sheik.
Oh, okay.
Which
way to politicize the times?
The Iron Sheik, who is a guest of our show, he's been on our program, so I must point that out. He's not like a regular or anything, but he's like a famous guy we've had on the show. We should bring that up. Bob Backlund was a champion for 2,135 days.
Who?
Bob Backlund.
No clue.
Yeah.
No clue.
Now, so like, let's say between, let's go up to like 1991. That's the last time that like Hulk Hogan was champion then. There was only 18 champions up to 1991.
How many have there been since?
Between 1963 and 1991, there were 18 champions, and some of them were repeats. So, like, Hulk Hogan was the champion 3 or 4 times. Bob Backlund was the champion twice. Bruno Sammartino was the champion twice. The Macho Man was the champion twice. Since now, in total, at least according to Wikipedia, there have been 132 champions.
So in the first 30-some-odd years, there were 18. And in the 26 years since, there's been 100-plus?
Yes.
Wow.
This is why we can't watch wrestling. This is why you quit watching, right, Jung?
No.
Yes, that's why.
Specifically.
That's specifically why. Yes, it is. And the current champion is, do you know the champion, Jong? Do you want me to tell you?
Sure.
Jinder Mahal.
Excuse me?
I've never heard of him, but he's the champion.
That wasn't you sneezing?
Nope, that's a real name.
Okay, that's
He is the Jinder Mahal, he's the champion. So congratulations to him. All right. Congratulations to you if you've got your floors cleaned by Dirt Free. It means there's no allergens and stuff hanging around in your house. You know, the other guys, if you go with them, they're probably going to come in, say they clean your floors, and then it's going to be dirtier than you left it, which is garbage because you still have to give them money. That's not how it works with Dirt Free. They use the best technology in the game. They've got the super water. Your carpet's going to be fresh, deep cleaned, without soap, without unhealthy dirt-attracting chemicals. They've been doing this for over 30 years, cleaning upholstery, floors, oriental rugs, even your air ducts. Call 281-DIRT-FREE. Go chemical-free with Dirt-Free. And right now, they'll clean one room free with any purchase. That's 281-DIRT-FREE. Tell them you heard it here on ESPN 97.5. And you get a free carpet clean in one room with any purchase and a free speed dry just for calling. 281-DIRT-FREE, 281-347-8373. Don't waste your time with the other guys. Go with the pros, the guys who have been doing it the longest, the guys who have the best technology. These guys, they're going to do it right for you, no matter what the surface. You want the interior of your car cleaned, give Dirt-Free a call. They'll find a way to get it done. That's Dirt-Free Carpet, 281-347-8373.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
Now back to the Blitz with Fred and AJ.
Welcome back to the Blitz. Craig Koshkin filling in for Fred Fowler. AJ Hoffman is in the building. Before we get into the next segment, I need to tell you about Nexen Tire. Nexen Tire has the leading warranty in the tire industry, exclusive free roadside assistance. Got a flat tire? Nexen will change your tire or tow your vehicle for free. Nexen is the fastest growing tire brand trusted by automotive manufacturers. Check out Nexen Tire on the web to learn more at nexentire.com. How's it going, AJ?
Going all right.
I'm going to go a near midpoint performance review. I need some pointers. How am I doing?
Chong is the one to, he's the grader. This used to be part of the show where he would grade us on how we were doing. But
it's the wrong show.
That's true. That it was the wrong show. We couldn't do that on my show because I'm very sensitive. I'm an egomaniac. I don't do well with criticism.
And you don't have an agent.
No.
Being an egomaniac.
Did you have one when you first started?
No.
I thought you did.
No.
Oh, well, your Nashville Predators did pretty well last night.
They did do pretty well. We didn't get to talk much about them, but yeah, it's an exciting thing. Every once in a while, I can watch the Stanley Cup Finals.
Mm-hmm.
I have a hard time. Everyone says that playoff hockey's so great, but like I just have no vested interest in any teams that are normally playing playoff hockey. But now that I have a team that I want to win, it's kind of exciting to watch. And I could see how, I mean, it's fun. If I weren't a fan of one of the teams, I don't think I would be watching, though.
You've probably explained it, but what is your draw to the Nashville Predators?
I lived in Nashville for several years. I went to college there. I had season tickets to the Predators for 2 years.
There it is.
So, yeah, I've watched them for a while. But, I don't watch hockey. So when they're in the playoffs, I usually watch them. They usually lose quickly, and that's that.
Yeah.
But this time, I mean, they've got some magic going.
They do have some magic going. It's fun to watch the Stanley Cup Finals. I agree with you 100% on that. I've always been told that playoff hockey can't be beat as far as intensity goes. And to that, all I can say is I watch Game 7s when they happen. That's about it. And then the Stanley Cup Finals I'll pay attention to as well. But we live in the South. It's football country. It's not hockey country. And maybe that would all be different if Houston had an NHL team, but they don't.
Yeah.
So it is what it is. But if you haven't watched it, it's kind of hard not to root for Nashville when you see the atmosphere going on in that building.
Well, the other thing is, like, I feel like the Penguins are one of those teams that everyone seems to be cheering for. Like, they seem to be like a national brand team.
Okay, I see that. I get it.
I mean, they're like the Lakers or the
they're
or the
not
Celtics.
The Red Wings, but they're kind of like that very like, next.
Yeah, they're like the Red Sox or something like you know, they're a brand name team. Yeah. And they've got fans. Apparently, they've got fans in every city because people on Twitter are trolling me saying "Go Pens" every night.
What is with Pittsburgh sports teams having fans? Steelers fans travel and are everywhere.
Well, my guess is people my age, when Michael Jordan was winning championships in basketball, Mario Lemieux and Jaromir Jagr were winning championships in
hockey.
That's
true.
So maybe that just became like for people my age, that's just one of the de facto, like, all right, well, that's a
because it's a sport they're not paying attention to. They just go with the team they know.
The team that was good when they were a kid or whatever.
It's brand recognition more so than it is actually caring about anything.
They do have a pretty cool mascot. Like, the logo is kind of cool.
The coolest thing about the Pittsburgh Penguins is the fact that they reside in the city of Pittsburgh and all the professional sports teams have the same color scheme. I think that's personally pretty cool. But other than that,
Well, I don't care about Pittsburgh, the city. But they did win a couple championships when I was like a little kid. I mean, I don't know the exact dates, but I feel like I was probably 12. And they won 2 years in a row. And then they won another one they won last year.
Mm-hmm.
And then they won another one a little while before that.
Yeah, Sidney Crosby has two.
Yeah, so they're a pretty successful franchise. They've happened into three of the best players in the history of hockey. You know, they had Mario Lemieux and Jaromir Jagr at the same time, which is not even fair. And then they get Sidney Crosby, and that's probably three of the top 10 hockey players ever.
Is Jaromir Jagr still playing hockey?
I don't know. I think he was recently.
In the last 5 years, he was still playing.
Within the last five years, he was for sure. I don't know if he's still playing, like if he played this year.
He was the elite of the elite in like 1996.
Yeah.
And he was still playing as of 2013 for sure.
Yeah.
That's crazy. In a sport that you get banged up a ton.
Jaromir Jagr is currently playing for the Florida Panthers of the NHL.
Wow.
He's
got to be in his 40s.
Oh.
For sure.
He's 45.
Wow.
45 years old. He's been playing since 1988.
That is longevity.
Yeah. And that's a tough sport, man.
Yeah, it's not baseball where you're not taking a bunch of physical knocks every day, although the 162-game season, you know, will wear on you day in and day out. But, you know, you're getting beat up and down the ice.
Yeah.
Especially if you're a scorer like he was.
Yeah, and I mean, listen, like I'm looking at his stats. He's no longer like a great player, but
he's still employed.
He's still got a gig, and he played 82 games this year.
That's crazy to me.
Yeah.
That's insane.
Yeah, what a life. I bet that dude's made some good dough.
Well, we know that he's got some good chicks by his side based on some of the Instagram pictures they take when he's not paying attention.
I also know that he's like one of the guys who, I mean, he's like a big-time gambler. And
is that why he's still playing?
He's lost a lot of money, and then like
are we talking like Antoine Walker type money? Because that dude lost almost like $100 million.
I don't know. I just know I remember a story where he owed the guy from Caesar's Palace. Mm-hmm. He owed them like $500,000. I know the IRS went after him for like several million dollars.
So he's got a Wesley Snipes case going against him.
Yeah.
And some gambling problems. So he's got Charles Barkley level issues and Wesley Snipes level issues.
But, you know, I mean, I'm not one to judge.
You're not?
No.
Really?
No.
Sure about that? I got to ask you a question about
Nashville. You want to burn your money on that? Go for it.
I got to ask you a question about the Predators. What's the deal with the catfish? You got to know what's going on there.
I think it's like it's sort of a play on what they do in Detroit when they throw the octopus on. Okay. I don't care. I think it's stupid to bring fish into a sporting event. I'm against that. But I do like the video of the giant black guy pouring beer into a catfish mouth with he's not wearing a shirt. He's holding up a catfish and pours a beer down the catfish's mouth. I like that.
Did you see? That's pretty good. You see the Tennessee Titans and Marcus Mariota and his offensive linemen at some of the games.
Yeah,
earlier in the playoffs, going crazy.
Yeah, whole city's getting behind that team. It's a pretty strong sports town, and they've only got like people there care about the Titans, obviously, and then they care about Tennessee football. Vanderbilt is in the middle of the city, and no one cares about it.
That's not surprising at all.
But people in that town are obsessed with the Titans, Tennessee Vols football, and Predators hockey.
I can tell you how little Vanderbilt football matters. I have a friend whose older brother is a cardiac anesthesiologist in Austin. He does very well. And for when James Franklin was the coach there, for like $10,000 in donation, he could have had full access to the coaching staff and practice and everything. Whereas at Texas A&M, Alabama, that's tens of millions of dollars to have that kind of access. And that's when they were at least decent, because James Franklin's a good coach.
Yeah.
So who knows what it is now?
I don't know. I mean, it's a no one cares about it. I mean, that's just like even alumni barely care about it. So
it's a private school with a small alumni base. I mean, how are they going to fill a 30,000 seat stadium, let alone a 65,000 seat
truth
stadium?
The truth is, the people who graduate from Vanderbilt, they're doctors, and they don't care about what's going on. They don't care about football.
They don't care at all.
They care less.
They don't care. They're there for the quote-unquote right reasons, that being an education.
I just saw this while I was looking at Jaromir Jagr's thing. He's played for 8 teams in his career. He is second all-time in points in the NFL or in the NHL.
How far is he behind Gretzky?
He is still 943 points behind him.
I don't think he's going to quite make it.
But I mean, that's a pretty it's a pretty impressive list.
Well, he's approaching, if he plays next year, he will be in year 30 of his career.
The closest active player to him, like I said, 1914, closest active player, 1341.
Jeez, who's that?
Joe Thornton.
Okay. He's got to be coming up on the end of his career.
Yeah, Jerome Aginla has 1300. And there's no others in the top 50 all time that are active.
That just shows you how great Wayne Gretzky was.
Oh, he's absurd.
Compared to his peers. I mean, like, I knew who Wayne Gretzky was. I followed that he was the best player in hockey. But you don't really have a concept for how great he actually was unless you're a huge hockey fan or you go look at the numbers.
Yeah.
He was absurd.
And Wayne Gretzky played in about 250 less games than Jaromir Jagr.
And counting for Jaromir Jagr. I mean, we're still I'm assuming he's going to play next year. He might have a bad trip at Caesars again.
That's the only player in any sport I feel like that there's no dispute over who the greatest player in their sport is.
I 100% agree. Baseball, you can go
there's a discussion
anywhere.
In every other sport. Yep. And really, you could get down to like every position. You can almost have a discussion in most sports.
Mm-hmm.
But Wayne Gretzky there's no argument for anyone else being better than Wayne Gretzky at hockey.
I agree. Does that mean you want to do a LeBron Jordan debate coming up?
No, I don't need to do that. We've been doing that enough.
No, I agree.
It's exhausting.
It's also the stupidest argument you could
have.
It's
exhausting.
Currently in sports.
Let's talk to Jason.
All right. What's up, Jason?
Yo, what up, fellas?
What up?
Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Good, good. Hey, so I'm a big fan of y'all's show, man, and every now and again when I have some downtime at work, I listen to those dorks that come on before you, and I like to mess with Barry because, you know, you say a little something and he starts crying about it, and it's funny to listen to him, and I guess he blocked me the other day from texting, man, and I was wondering if you guys could unblock me so I can continue making Barry cry every now and again.
You'll have to give Joan your phone number off the air. Because otherwise, I don't know how to do it. I don't know how to work. I, to be honest, I'll have Jong take your number down, and I'm willing to do that. But I don't know. I don't use the text line. That's a Fred job. Because again, I'm very sensitive to criticism, so I don't like to see it. So I don't. I never use the text line. But when Fred comes back tomorrow, I'll have him unblock you.
See, now I don't know how to do that either. I just I'll have to go in and I know how to access the site. I don't know how to unblock numbers.
Okay,
I'll.
We'll figure it out, though. Give your number to Jong.
And I have literally zero power here, so yeah. I can do nothing for you. You're listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
Behold the King of Kings. On your knees, dog.
From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
No Fred Fowler today. Craig Koshkin, your Rock the Mic champion, filling in with A.J. Hoffman in studio. You can call in on the HRNP listeners line, 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. Going to welcome into the show here in this segment, Houston Chronicle columnist, and you can follow him on Twitter at Jerome Solomon. It is the aforementioned Jerome Solomon. How are you doing today, sir?
Just lovely, gentlemen. What's happening?
We're living the dream, Jerome. We're living the dream. The Texans, and we talked a lot about Bill O'Brien and the things that he says and how much we should put into what he says, but he says that this is a great quarterback room. He's really impressed with all these guys. And Deshaun Watson is doing everything right. He's doing good. What do you do you believe that?
Yes,
or do you believe
I do.
He just has to say that?
No, I believe that, and I believe that is a factual statement. Now, of course, he said the exact same thing about every other quarterback he's had in that room since he's been there. So just because I believe him this time doesn't make him any more correct than he was wrong when he was trying to tell us that Ryan Mallett was so good and Brian Hoyer was so good and Ryan Fitzpatrick was so good and Case Keenum was so good and on and on and on. And of course, Brock Osweiler. So, no, I mean, does it? Should you take anything from it? It's much better than him saying, this guy's not doing very well. He's got a long way to go.
He won't say that, though.
Yeah, he would. I think he would. If he wouldn't say that, he probably wouldn't say anything. Maybe that's a better way of putting it. But one quick thing I will say that at this point a year ago, well, Brock Osweiler at this point a year ago looked better than any of these three guys they have this season, that's for sure. From everyone who watches these kind of things and tries to real information from it. And trust me, you can't gather a whole lot of information from it. Not only is it not against a real defense, it's not at full speed. It's nowhere near it. It ain't even practice. It's a glorified walkthrough.
There's obviously going to be, at some point this year, a lot of pressure on them to put Deshaun Watson in. There's also a swell of support for Tom Savage for some reason unbeknownst to me. And Bill O'Brien came out already and said Tom Savage is our guy, at least to start the season. What do you feel would have to happen for Tom Savage not to be the guy anymore?
I mean, it would take Savage would have to break down. I think basically. I mean, I think the general understanding in that front office is that Deshaun Watson is the guy and going to be the guy, but there's no need in rushing him. And the only reason you would have to rush him is if Tom Savage just completely falls apart. And for the most part, he can't fall apart. Well, he certainly can't fall apart in June. You know, he can only fall apart when the preseason really gets going. And even then, you'll give him a little leeway based upon how far along Deshaun Watson is. But, you know, if they're anywhere near even going into the season, I think the Texans should be smart enough to pull the trigger and start Deshaun Watson. Because if they're anywhere near even entering the season, yeah, maybe Savage gives you a little bit better of a chance the first couple of games. But by midseason and after, Deshaun Watson gives you a better chance if he's played 7 or 8 games versus if you put him in there 8 games in. You know what I mean? So we'll see how it plays out.
The Astros win 11 in a row, one away from tying their franchise record. Are you a buyer on these Astros? Are they a World Series contender to you?
Oh, yeah. I don't think there's any question about it. I mean, you can't help but buy. I mean, they're not winning by miracle, and they're not winning, you know, just by default. Granted, their lead in the division is a bit by default. I mean, they would be leading the division almost regardless of what was going on, but with no other team in the division, even at 500, that wide of a gap is certainly because the other teams are not very good. But the Astros are very good. They're getting it done across the board, and you can't help but buy into them. How this plays out over the course of the season is another thing, but I mean, even the thing I was looking at, you know, you guys have probably seen the predictionmachine.com runs those 50,000 computer simulations, and the Astros are 100% to make the playoffs at this point in the season. That's how ridiculous their start is. And I saw something today that their start has only been matched a couple of times in baseball history. It's ridiculous what they're doing and how well they're playing, but they don't even seem to be over the top. They're pretty level-headed, pretty calm and relaxed for a team, which, you know, in a long baseball season, you're going to hit a slump at some point, but they're off to such a huge start. They can hit 2 slumps and still battle back, and it's going to be fun to watch.
Do you think ownership there is going to, if they continue to play the way they've played, do you feel like they'll be less inclined to go out and make a big move at the deadline? Or do you think as you know, they continue to dominate, they'll say, man, we've got a real shot here and go out and make a big splash?
I think it's more of the latter. I mean, I've made no bones about it. I've been more of a Jim Crane fan than most around, and I just don't have any doubt that he'll spend the money when he needs to. But I also think that it'll be an easier sell if they're ahead. You know, like, it's one thing to try to make you make a move and you hope it'll make a difference. Like, well, we're behind now, but if we go out and make this big, bold statement, it could or could not pay off. As opposed to if you're in the lead, you've got the best record in baseball and you're going well, and you're like, this move here is the move that'll just make us that much better, I think is an easier sell. I mean, and people think about it. I mean, you know, Carlos Beltran is not a huge move, but that's a, what, $16 million move.
Right.
You know, in the offseason. So you can't tell me the guy won't spend the money if he thinks it'll make the difference.
The do you think that pitching is obviously going to be the priority? Do you think that there are players out there at the AAA level or anything that are or that they would consider untouchable in a deal?
No, I don't really think so because that they're still pretty young, you know, in a lot of key spots they're still young, so they're not in a position where they have a guy who's ready to retire who's holding a spot for a young guy who they, you know, don't want to rush to bring up. So, you know, I mean, there's some guys they'd rather not move, but for the right player. I mean, it's like you were saying last year, if there were moves you thought they should have made even last season to get a number one or two starting pitcher. And I don't think that really changes. I mean, if you can get a pitcher that's that good and that strong, and you take this offense where you have Keiko and McCullers and a third pitcher who's as good as one of those two guys or just below them, no team would want to play that team in the playoffs, and that's what you want in the playoffs.
You think the Cavs can win a game or two from these Warriors?
Oh yeah, yeah. I mean it's hard to sweep anybody anyway, and it's even more much more difficult to sweep a team that has LeBron James on it because at any point in time, you know, he's going to do that extra little thing to get his team over the hump, and we haven't had a close game yet. And certainly in Cleveland, you'll get a close game, maybe two. The question for the Cavs is, can they win two close games as opposed to just winning one? And Kyrie Irving hasn't gone off, even though there's talk about his knee not being fully healthy. You know, you expect him to have a mid-30s to 40-point game at some point, and when he does that, the Cavs will win. He better do that tomorrow night. That would be a good time to start.
What do you make of this talk? And I said I believe it yesterday that the Warriors are maybe the best team. This Warriors team is maybe the best team that's ever been put together.
No, I'm not buying that. I don't think it's necessarily people are saying are prisons of the moment, but I'm just not buying that because they're the best team put together under the current rules and the way the game is played now. You take this team and play it against some of the teams from the 90s and the rules that were played then and the foul rules and just the way the game was played, they'd be really good. I'm not acting like they couldn't compete, but it would be a completely different ball game. And you're just not the best ever if you can't go into any era and do damage. And so, Steph Curry can play. He's a really good player, but he's not one of the best 10 players in NBA history. You know, Draymond Green is an outstanding player, He's not one of the best 75 players in NBA history, best 100 players in NBA history. He doesn't even rank among the all-time greats. Yet, everybody acts like, well, he's one of the top 10 players in the league today, and he's on a great team. Now, Kevin Durant, ridiculously good player. And we know he's the second-best player in the game today. But, you know, that combination makes them by far the best team today. But no, let's not get out of hand. I mean, there was a time the Bulls had the best player probably of all time, certainly of the day. Another one who was in the top five in Pippen, and then another one who was a top 10 in Rodman. Those three players against the best three players from this team, I'll take those Bulls, period.
I think the argument comes when you get down to that fourth guy and you've got Klay Thompson or John Paxson, and you've got Klay Thompson, who's like a legitimately great NBA player, And it's not, no, it's not
Klay,
just filler.
No, Klay Thompson's not a great NBA player. He's a really good player. He's not great.
I think he's one of the...
He's a really good player. He's not great.
I think he's one of the probably 30, 35 best players in the league. I don't think you can say that about... I don't think you can say that about John Paxson or Steve Kerr or any
Ron
of those guys.
Ron Harper.
Or Will Perdue.
Hold on. The roster... Even if you decide that Klay Thompson is better than Kukoc and all those guys, say Klay Thompson of all those guys, he's the seventh best player in that group of between those two teams.
I agree.
Okay, say he's the seventh best. The next five or six are all Bulls.
I don't know about that even.
Probably.
Even at 33, Iguodala is doing his
better
thing.
Than all those guys. I mean, you know what I mean? Like it's. And we are, you know, an unwinnable point in a way. But is it at least worth having a conversation about? Oh, no, it's a fun conversation. Yeah, no, that's what I'm saying. It's not like it's a lockdown automatic. But best team ever, I have trouble with that because Dennis Rodman is so much better at what Draymond Green does than what Draymond Green is. Except Draymond can make some more outside shots.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. He can make some more outside shots, but he couldn't make them against Rodman. You know what I mean? That kind of changes things. Yeah. I think Kevin Durant is just a ridiculously talented offensive player, but I think Pippen does more damage to him on defense than he would the other way around. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm not jumping him down saying it's not even a debate. I'm just thinking, and we're talking about playing in 90s rules.
Right.
Where you can grab and hold and hit an elbow and punch a guy if you have to. Steph Curry and Kevin Durant would have a little tougher time in that game than Pippen and Jordan would have in this game. My goodness, you know. It would be fun, though. And I you know how much money I would pay to watch Pippen and Durant and Rodman and Draymond
awesome.
And Jordan and Steph Curry play? That would be ridiculous.
The last one before we let you go, there was a lot of conversation, especially before the last two games once again, and it comes up every year when LeBron gets to the finals. What's he got to do to make his case for the greatest ever? Now, getting smoked in games one and two isn't helping his cause. Do you think every time LeBron James loses in the finals, it makes it more difficult to consider him the best ever?
It's going to, but it shouldn't. I mean, you know, it really shouldn't. I mean, Michael Jordan played a lot of years in the league. He only made it to the finals six times. You know, and that you know, it says a lot for a guy that can get there. That's the same as the people, and it's kind of changed because he won a couple more.
The Brady Montana.
You know I was always a Tom Brady guy. But
right.
Give me a break just because Montana won four in a row. And granted, he was damn near perfect in his four in a row. I don't think he threw an interception right in either of the four Super Bowls that he won. But, come on, Brady kept going just because he lost. And granted, and Brady didn't even play well. In a couple of those games, what they didn't even score 14 points against the Giants when they lost that ridiculous game that they should have won. But I just don't punish a guy for getting to the finals. I really don't. I mean, you really shouldn't. But LeBron is going to be punished for it, and he'll deserve more punishment because of how poorly he played the one time. I mean that series against the Mavericks, it's inexcusable, and there's nothing he can really do to ever live that one down.
Yeah. All right, that's Jerome Solomon. You can catch him, of course.
Hey, and speaking of, I was talking about 49ers, and you're talking about John Lee. Y'all didn't bother with the Lee middle name, and you just ignored the greatest of all time who's more popular, Jerome Lee.
Oh, I didn't know Lee was your middle name.
Jerome Lee Rice.
Oh.
And Jerome Lee Solomon, too. We, you know, pick either one.
Okay.
We're more famous than John.
That's probably, I don't know about that other guy, but yeah, you are more famous than John.
I'll give you that one. That Jerry Rice guy, he's pretty decent.
No, not Jerome Rice. Jerry, he's the good one.
His mama called him Jerome.
Oh, well, okay. Well, that works then. All right, that is Jerome Solomon. You can, of course, read him on the cron.com or in the Houston Chronicle. You can follow him at Jerome Solomon on Twitter. And we'll be right back. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
I don't blame it, Don.
From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
Welcome back to The Blitz. Filling in for Fred Fowler, myself, Craig Koshkin, with A.J. Hoffman. A.J., good segment with Jerome Solomon previously. Talked a little sports, finally, in this show. Who do you have tonight in the NBA Finals?
There's no game tonight,
I
is
mean,
there?
Tomorrow night.
Tomorrow?
Yeah.
I feel like if the I'm with Jerome. I feel like the Cavs are going to win a game at some point. I think Game 3 is their best shot at it. So I'll say Cavs in Game 3.
I was of the opinion from the get-go this was going to be over in five to begin with the Warriors winning. I think the Cavs get game four just to keep it going a little bit. I think tomorrow night the Cavs will continue to be somewhat dominant. Obviously, in Cleveland, it's going to be much more highly contested than the fourth quarters of the first two games.
Okay.
And that's...
I mean, it's got to be closer than the first two games.
It has to be. And the whole thing comes down to you're replacing Harrison Barnes's terrible production with Kevin Durant's fantastic production.
Yeah, I don't know if I feel like Harrison Barnes was terrible. I just feel like Kevin Durant's just way better than him.
Harrison Barnes was real bad last year in the finals.
In the finals, yeah. That's fair.
I mean, that largely in the finals last year, the Cavs let Harrison Barnes shoot all he wanted to because he was so bad during the finals. They can't do that to Kevin Durant. Well, although,
I mean, to be fair, Steph Curry was no peach in the finals last year
either. He really crashed in games 5 through 7.
Yeah.
He did. Although the Cavs seem to like to let Kevin Durant go straight down the middle of the court and get a free dunk.
Yeah.
Somehow. But this Cavaliers team was so bad on defense for an elite level basketball team over the course of the regular season. And although they picked it up in the Eastern Conference Finals, there's nothing about the strength of the Eastern Conference that led me to believe that was going to continue when a better offensive team in the Warriors came to town.
Yeah.
So I just don't get it. I don't see how Cavs fan and LeBron fan thinks this is going to be a series.
Well, I'm as much LeBron fan as anybody. I'm in that camp that thinks he's in the discussion for greatest player ever. I think there's a reasonable argument to be made.
Sure.
But I said this the other day, I just think this team is too great. And I've been watching these games, and at halftime I'm like, there's nothing they can do.
LeBron James almost had a triple-double and a half of a game that they ended up losing by 19.
Yeah. And I said this when they signed Kevin Durant, and that was it. Kudos to the Warriors for going out and getting that done, by the way. I know everybody hates it. I'm a big believer in if you can do it in within the rules and they want to do it, let them do it.
Agreed.
But that was a definite answer to blowing a 3-1 lead and losing to LeBron in the finals. They said, no, that ain't happening again. And I think this offseason, it's up to the Cavs to figure out a way to best it. And, I mean, obviously there's not another Kevin Durant floating around. I mean, there just isn't another one.
Can we find a way, for the sake of hate, to get Russell Westbrook to Cleveland?
I don't think that'll do any good.
It would be bad for the Cavs as a whole.
Yeah.
You can't have him and Kyrie coexist anyway, LeBron. But could you imagine the storylines with Kevin Durant versus Russell Westbrook in the finals?
Yeah. You know what? And I'll give more kudos to the Warriors. Do you remember there was a time when the Warriors or the Cavs wanted to trade Kevin Love for Klay Thompson?
Vaguely.
And
yes.
The Warriors said, we're good. They made the right choice too.
Oh, I agree.
Klay Thompson's a better player than Kevin Love.
Kevin Love's a nice guy, but he's the classic case of getting a big deal in free agency because he was on a bad team and yep. Someone has to fill up the stat
sheet. He was the best player on a bad team. Yeah. He was a stat filler for a really, really bad team. And I mean, he's a pretty solid player. He's a very serviceable NBA player, but he's not even close to the level of LeBron and Kyrie. And obviously, I mean, Kyrie's barely in the same conversation as LeBron, but Kevin Love's a couple notches behind that.
Did you see Steph Curry alluded in his post-game remarks after game two to the two really good players Cleveland has? And he mentioned LeBron. He did not mention the other player he thought was a really good player. So was he throwing shade at Kyrie Irving? Or
I don't know. He had to be throwing shade at Kevin Love. There's no way you can.
Kevin Love had a good game in game two. Kyrie's been virtually non-existent in the finals.
No, game one he was great.
You're right.
Game one he was great. He and LeBron were the only two players that showed up in game one.
And then Kyle Korver and Kevin Love played well in game two.
So, it doesn't take much to know that Kyrie Irving's a better player than Kevin Love.
If you have eyes.
Steph Curry's a smart enough guy to know that. It doesn't take much to know that Raising Cane's is awesome chicken fingers. You know why? They're the best chicken fingers because they've got one love, and that's making great chicken finger meals. Only fresh, never frozen chicken fingers, premium cuts chicken, marinated at least 24 hours before cooking, freshly hand-dipped and hand-breaded in their signature seasoned flour, and cooked fresh when you order. Served hot, fresh, and as fast as possible, but they'll never sacrifice quality for speed. They do it the right way. They've got the great sides, the crinkle-cut fries, the Texas toast, the coleslaw, the hand-squeezed lemonade that's made in-house every single day, and the fantastic cane sauce that's tangy with a little bit of spice and is, again, handmade daily in every store. Raising Cane's does it the right way. They do a lot for the community, especially for education, for pet welfare, feeding the hungry, promoting active lifestyles and business development, entrepreneurship. They do a lot with the community. They've got over 25 locations in the Houston area now. There's one near you. Don't cook dinner tonight. Stop by Raising Cane's and make your family happy. Your wife's not that good at cooking anyway. It's gonna be better for everyone if you just pick up some Raising Cane's. Raising Cane's, one love. Say that. Yeah.